Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Yeah, like the first act of this was, you know, Speed and Trip was Keanu Reeves.
I know. It was so, I mentioned it twice in my notes. This is 100% Speed. There's a bomb on the Enterprise.
I'm surprised they didn't shoot Mayweather, you know, so Hoshi had to go and pilot the ship, you know.
That shit would have made me laugh.
And then suddenly Archer and Hoshi are flirting with each other, you know.
For real.
It's funny, too, because I just actually watched part of that yesterday. And thinking how over the top, what's his name? Dennis Hopper was as the villain. You know, pop quiz, hot shot.
He was great, though.
Oh, he was amazing. I loved it, but it was just...
I love the movie. The second movie was trash, but the first one was great.
What second movie?
It was the second Speed.
I don't believe you.
Oh, I get what you're doing.
Yeah. There was just one movie.
I'm not in denial. There was a really trash movie that came after Speed.
I remember Eddie Izzard one time goes, the movie Speed, he goes, which in French would be la da 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 da, he said it. He goes, but instead they called it Speed. Speed. Oh, shit. All right, welcome, everybody. So,
hi.
We're hitting up part two of this Klingon.
The thrilling conclusion.
It was funny because there, and it'll, later on, Phlox kind of acknowledges, but I was kind of like, well, wait, if they go ahead and make this canon with the whole thing with the human looking things, how does that explain all the other future movies that have all the ones with the makeup? And then Phlox says that, you know, or they have that little conversation about, you know, regenerative kind of stuff. I was like, oh, okay. Okay,
yeah, they could probably fix it later.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, so that's kind of like, so we did this part, but the rest will somebody else can work out later.
Yeah.
Because it's Star Trek.
Which is honestly, that's real life. The first cure of something usually has more side effects, right. And then they start ironing it out.
By the way, I forgot the Artemis launched because it'd been delayed so many times that I actually forgot like it actually went into space. And is like currently going around the moon.
You want to know something funny?
You didn't even know about it?
I knew about it, but I forgot too because I saw it yesterday and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, because I saw something the other day when it was talking about the images or something like that I brought back from the moon. And it was weird that the far side of it has less crater holes than the other.
Isn't it? I haven't seen the images.
Yeah, I saw the images and it looked like, oh, the far side doesn't have as many craters as this.
Must be just a particular part that they took a picture of. Because I know the far side of the moon has more craters than the near side of the moon.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was funny because like I remember watching it like the first time going, okay, that'll be cool. Oh, we scrubbed it because of this. And then the second time, we scrubbed it because of this. Third time, oh, well, there's rain. And it's like, what's the next one? Oh, there's a moth on the tip of it. We can't launch now. You know,
I wasn't upset because that's always like that. Like you scrap it until it's perfect. But I just lost interest because they kept moving it and then I just forgot about it.
Yeah, that's me too. Like the first time I was kind of like, okay, whatever. But when it got to like the third or fourth time, you know, I was kind of like, oh, whatever, dude. And I just kind of was like, yeah, there's like, oh, it's going to attempt to launch. I'm like, yeah, right. There's probably going to be a cloud that's going to hover just over the pad and they're not going to be able to launch. And then like the next day it was like, oh, so the Artemis launch. I was like, oh shit. And I was going to say something and then I forgot about it. I was going to bring it up in the show, forgot about it. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, I haven't had time to to look into it and see the images and stuff like that. But I did hear yesterday that it was doing what it was supposed to be doing. So that's good. Yeah. This one's on remote control though, right? There's nobody on it.
Yeah, I think they're doing the whole drone thing.
Yeah.
Somebody's standing in the middle of a room with a giant joystick sticking out of the floor.
Just leaning into it.
Exactly. Too. Leaning into it. Just to the one thing of that scene in there was that Trill, that was, I think, the navigator or something, like the con officer, when she's on there. She looked like she was kind of into Riker. I gotta admit, that chick, she kind of gave that look of like, God, if you weren't doing that and you were married, I'd fuck you right now. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
It's Riker.
But it's, yeah, again, it's Riker. So it's like,
right.
When was that on Lower Decks when the first officer goes, so the first thing you know how to do is to lean over the chair like this. He was teaching them how to do the Riker maneuver.
It's important.
Yeah, it's important because, you know, that exerts dominance. I think when next time I go into an interview, I'm going to do that. I'm going to just swing my leg over the chair.
Don't sit down. You can have a seat. No, thank you. No,
I'm just going to sit. I'm just going to stand right here. Lean in like you're going in for the joystick, you know? All right. So we are into part two of the Klingon plague. What is this? What do they arc this one as?
The Klingon augment virus.
Oh, okay. Not very clever, but, you know.
I mean, it's in the name, really.
So we are on episode Divergence.
What's funny, though? What? In Memory Alpha, usually arcs have links. This arc doesn't.
Because it's only the episode before.
Yeah.
And it was never mentioned again. So this one, by the way, before we start, hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving holiday off. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we got you episode Black Friday. So hope you enjoyed that. We'll have, after this, we should have two more episodes before we hit our fall break, which will take us right up to, I think, Christmas Eve or something like that. And then you guys will, and then we'll be off for the holiday break. And then we'll come back in mid-January or so, early to mid-January, and return with, which ironically will be our return from another cliffhanger. It's like every break we have has a cliffhanger piece to it. Which will be the first part of Mirror Darkly, which I'm really excited for that one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was a two-parter.
Yeah. And then once we come back from that, will be the conclusion of that. And then the last two, I think it's the last four episodes of Enterprise. So, and we're excited here for the finale of Enterprise because, you know, masterpiece of Star Trek.
It was a great bottle episode of TNG. Fuck out of here. They did that. They did the show so fucking dirty.
They did it so fucking bad. Yeah. Like, ugh. It's that moment that I'm glad Brandon Braga and Rick Berman are never part of Star Trek after that.
Yeah.
Because that was just dirty. You did me dirty. Dirty. All right. So we kick off this episode of Divergence with there's a bomb on the Enterprise.
There's a bomb on the Enterprise. It's literally speed.
Yeah. Well, because what, you know, what happens later with Trip, it's like, you know, Keanu Reeves jumping from that car into the bus.
I'm telling you, it's scene by fucking scene, dude. Yeah.
Then who would have been Jeff Daniels' character?
Fucking T'Pol. I'm telling you, dude.
So the Enterprise is still at warp 5 point whatever to keep it from
5 point whatever. I think it was 5.2, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And it starts intense because you have that music that dun, 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 you know. And
those aggressive camera pans, bro. Jesus. I was getting dizzy this episode. I don't know who was on the fucking camera, but they were trying to go for that Oscar, bro. A TV Emmy.
Yeah. Well, the director was someone I'm not familiar with, David Barrett. But the story was written by Judith and Garfield Reeves Stevens, which was cool. So, yeah. You know, that gave it some legitimacy. But Archer, on a mission, goes back to the brig and, you know, hits up fucking Malcolm this time because it's like, there's a bomb on the Enterprise. And, like, you know, like, you know, if we can't do this, you know, we gotta, what is this, is a, they're gonna rendezvous with Columbia and they're going to, Trip was somehow going to get on there because they said something about transporting him over. And I was like, well, wait, that beaming over at warp speed doesn't happen until TOS. You know, I was like, I go, is this going to be one of those? We tried it and see if it worked. And,
nah, they did it old school.
They did it old school, yeah.
By the way, can we mention that Trip's been gone for like a day?
Right? I know.
And they already need him back. Literally the worst officer in Star Trek history was Trip's replacement. He did nothing.
And by the way, we didn't get any Seth MacFarlane in this episode.
No, we didn't.
No.
He's gone. He's dead.
Yeah.
He's off. He went off to write the greatest sci-fi television show of all time.
You're talking about Family Guy, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah, so they concoct this plan that, like, all right, well, because apparently Reed is the only one that, of course, Reed, you know, the Mary Sue in this episode. It's kind of nice though. The humans being the Mary Sue.
For once.
For once, yeah.
Well, I mean, Phlox is single-handedly saving millions of people.
Right.
But you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So
good for him.
So they figure they're going to merge warp fields. So
as one does.
As one does, you know. And to
that was, this whole scene is dope, dude. I don't give a fuck. This is so cool. It was like a movie, dude.
Yeah, it was. And like this, the part of this and the last part of the other episode could have been a whole episode in and of itself.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. And so they're going to merge warp fields to bring Tucker aboard. And, you know, so he can go ahead and, you know, save the ship. Which makes me think, like, this was the whole reason they had Trip leave, was so he can do one dope ass, like, action sequence. Like, we're going to do this whole, like, story and back plot and stuff like that, just so he can do this cool little
bit in the end.
It's like what do you do, like in most movies, how they call set pieces? Like this is
I like when he came in and he saw T'Pol and he just goes, fancy meeting you here. Fucking badass shit. Like, don't try to play it off like you cool motherfucker. The whole reason you transferred is because it's T'Pol. Stay simping, bro.
And that's just the trailer. Like, that's all the trailer. Or the teaser, sorry. And then Act One, you know, the Columbia shows up.
I don't know why when I did my notes, I put Part One and Part Two.
I noticed that. I'm like,
I'm fucking like, tired.
All right, well, just Act One, Act Two. So yeah, so Captain Hernandez shows up, and they do this whole action sequence. I think Act One is pretty much the whole. It's kind of the whole, this is the whole story. Like, this is all of Act One. So I do like how Columbia does that little flip. So they're like running belly to belly. I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it was so fucking cool.
And then they merge the warp fields. And then, you know, Reed is in his spacesuit, going to bring Trip in. And then that little, careful, Mayweather, you know, if you make a mess, you know, or Chef will know who made a mess, you know, he'll keep the shit steady.
It's a little fucking like it's an 80s action movie kind of lines. And I wasn't upset about it. It was just kind of weird. Like, I was like, what the fuck, dude? They're having a little too much fun.
He's one of those. It's one of those where, you know, it's like one of those people that, like, you know, gets into a lot of shit. And instead of making things awkward, he made these little cheesy jokes, yeah. Which is kind of what I felt like he was doing. Like, hey, guys, it's still me. You know, Reed, I'm just trying to make things fun, you know, so it's not awkward.
It's like, Mayweather, you can't make an omelet if you don't break a few eggs. I'm 2 weeks from retirement. You know, it's fucking goofy shit. I'm too old for this shit. Literally lethal weapon in space. Lethal weapon in speed.
You hear Mayweather go, like, he goes, hate God back. Works for me. You know, it's like, like, holy shit. Oh my God. Or no, you have Captain Hernandez calling the bridge. You know, what is it? Pop quiz, hot shot.
Yeah. It needed to be. And you know what? It was a missed opportunity.
It totally was. How do you stop a ship going from warp by not blowing itself up? You have Hoshi go, shoot the hostage.
Shoot the hostage.
Oh, shit. So, yeah. So, basically, it does this little flip. So, it's belly to belly. And, you know, as cool as it would have been to, like, just jettison fucking Trip right out of them.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
Like, you see him on a giant rubber band, like, going to, like, launch himself.
But it's so funny because it's like he's on this tether, right, that's connected between the two ships, obviously because they don't want him to float out at warp speed. And then I'm like, but he can just hold on to the tether?
Right.
Like, warp field mechanics is fucking crazy, dude.
And then, yeah, I know. He's like, it's like, okay, Trip, go. And he's like, heading out. You're just like, you know, it's like, yeah, don't worry about me.
I'm heading out. Trip's such a badass in this fucking episode, dude.
It'd be funny if he goes, like, heading out, looks at the camera, gives that wink. Like,
yeah.
It's like, don't fuck this one up, Trip. Remember what happened in executive action. I'm Kurt Russell in this bitch, not Steven Seagal, all right?
For real. No one wants to be Steven Seagal.
And then of course, you know, halfway through, I love how he's going up the rope and he's got this little, like, little clasp that you use, like, when you go hiking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is that really strong enough to, like,
it's like a carabiner he bought at Walmart. Like, it's fucking,
no, he got it in, like, that shitty, like, automotive section you get at, like, CVS or Walgreens or something like that, where it's like $8.99.
It's not rated for climbing on it.
But it's got a picture of a height climber on the packaging.
That shit's for your keys, Playboy. You're about to die. Oh, Siri thought I was talking to her.
Siri's going, hiking equipment can be found at REI.
Shut up, bitch. I know that.
And then, of course, you know, like, because it can't stand the strain, the tether's starting to take out that whole, like, pylon.
Yeah.
See, it was like, you know, we would have used a better tether, but the problem was is that they had a sale at Walmart. I mean, on Amazon, and I could get 5 for the price of 1 tether. So I thought I was just making the more economical decision.
This is literally the scene from Speed where they had the 2 buses next to each other. And right. they were walking across the fucking wooden plank.
And the tire started to disintegrate on the one bus.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Somebody was in the writing room playing games, okay?
They were sitting there watching Speed. Oh, this would be good. We could do this with Trip.
It was high as fuck with Speed on in the background. Yo, these original ideas I'm fucking having, bro.
And they don't know that Speed's on in the background, but they just think, like, it's all coming to them.
What's that noise, bro?
I don't know, dude. You know, it's like, oh, you hear that too? Oh, whoa, I thought that was just me.
Whoa. They're watching Keanu Reeves in Speed, but they're acting like Keanu Reeves in fucking...
The Matrix?
Yeah, it's fucking goofy.
One of them's like, whoa, I know Kung Fu.
It's like, what was in the shit we just smoked, bro? Jesus.
I did like how I did like that mild effect of when the warp fields merged. You know, it just kind of did a little bzzz, you know. I kept thinking, though, when they were doing that, I kept thinking of a static warp shell. It's like, we'll create a static warp shell, and that should that should take care of the separation of the universes.
So many tachyons in that scene, you know? it was crazy. You could see them, you know, it's floating around.
Oh, man. So after, oh, yeah, and then, so Trip decides to do, this is where Trip kind of becomes Scotty. He kind of becomes Scotty in this episode.
Yeah, because he's doing stuff very, like, spur of the moment, figuring it out.
He basically does a hard restart on his PC.
I'm gonna hard restart the warp engine in under 2 minutes. Tfall's like, that's impossible. He's like, watch me. I was like, yeah, you don't take that over shit. He came back like a badass. Now you ain't taking Tfall's bullshit, bro. I've been gone.
I've been in your dreams, bitch. I know what I'm doing.
That's right.
And yeah, so he does. He goes ahead and he does that fucking cold restart, reboots the computer basically. And then, you know, then of course, Enterprise is free.
It kind of reminded me of when, I know pilots have to do that sometimes. Where you're engines in the air and they have to kill the engine.
Oh yeah,
and then restart it, and it's always dramatic because you know gravity.
Because you know gravity can be a bitch sometimes.
But it was so cool because it showed the warp engines turning off, but Columbia was pulling them along.
Yeah.
But then Captain Hernandez is like, 40 seconds. Let's move it along.
I don't know if you got lunch plans, but I do. So we need to kind of hurry this along a little bit, you know?
I surprisingly, the ship is only supposed to power itself. So I'm going to need you guys to hurry up.
You see Hernandez just sitting there with her head on her fist, tapping her fingers against the arm of the chair, you know, because she has to look at each of those glowing pylons. So that takes a lot of time, and she can't do that while pulling the Enterprise along.
I was thinking to myself, like, why did they never do this move again? And then I realized, oh, it's because they had tractor beams.
Yeah.
The only reason they had to do this is because they didn't have a tractor beam.
Yeah, they should have used the grapplers. They should have used those grapplers.
She imagine? At warp speed, bro. That reminds me of when I had a 75 Ford Granada and I tried to tow it with a cloth chain.
What the fuck?
Like one of those tow chains is just a rope. And it just instantly said, nope.
It literally said, get the fuck out of here.
It's like we're rated to pull Geo Metros, pimp, not fucking 70s Fords.
You got a kid stuck in the, you got a kid in a bike stuck in mud? We can do that.
For real.
I like how when they get out of the shuttle bay and then he looks at the guards and then Malcolm's like, they're for me.
You know? What? I'll tell you later.
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you when we're not so busy.
We're busy right now. It's not a big deal.
Got shit to do, you know?
I'm on the clock. Right to the break.
He's like, what's going on with that? Oh, well, you know, you know me, you know, shit kind of got a little out of control, you know, one thing led to another, and, you know, I'm
that's
in the break.
That's the problem. Trip does know him. That's why he was confused. Like,
what the fuck do you do now? Trip would be like, I'm gone for one fucking day, and the engines are about to blow up, and you're in the brig. What the fuck?
And you're a criminal? What the fuck?
Yeah, so I like that. So they get the Enterprise working perfectly, and then we go back to the.
I mean, the Enterprise never has worked perfectly, but you know, it's moving.
It's moving. You know? Trip just happened to have some scotch tape and some Gorilla Glue, so you know he's gonna make it work.
That's right.
So we go back to the Kuvak colony, and the Klingon doctor fucking finds Phlox beat to shit.
He was fucked up. And it's funny too, because I forgot why. I was like, what happened to Phlox? Yeah. And then I remembered. I was like, oh yeah, he got his ass whooped for talking shit.
I'm not going to do.
I'm not going to do that, bitch. Uncle Phil smacked the shit out of him.
Damn. Bro. I mean, you expected Will Smith to pop in there and go, Uncle Phil, what you doing? You're better than this. Oh my God. So yeah, so we you have that shit. I thought it was funny because, like, you know, he's laying on his bed and then the doctor's like going, yeah, but he goes, but you're brilliant. And I was like, I'm laying here fucked up, man. Like, I don't need to know that I'm brilliant.
Don't matter how fucking smart I am. My fucking eye all swollen.
If I was so smart, why didn't I dodge those hits?
These motherfuckers play too much out here. Like, but you can save so many people. It's like Klingons, y'all fucking mean.
After this, fuck all y'all.
For real. I don't have to. It's like, I'm not gonna kill you, but I don't have to save you.
Right, exactly. I'm gonna Batman I'm this bitch. I'm gonna Batman right. this bitch. Yeah, come on.
But bye.
So basically he found the weakness in the virus, because of course.
Yeah, it's Phlox.
It's Phlox, you know, that they can, what was it? They could stop.
Oh, actually, Phlox wasn't the one who found it.
Well, he found it in Phlox's studies because he said Phlox was, you know, because Phlox was too busy getting his ass beat that he that he couldn't.
He neglected to read his notes. I don't really blame him.
I was trying to read my notes, but I couldn't with my swollen fucking eye.
I put in my notes later, but it works here too. The Klingons sometimes are so stupid that you wonder how they're still there. Just by sheer brute forcing evolution,
Well, it's like Harrison Ford in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He had, like, Harrison Ford didn't need to be in that, and it still would have played out the same.
For real.
But yeah, so he found the weakness in the thing where it said basically they can neutralize it in phase one, at the end of phase one, so you can't get to phase two. So it prevents them from being augments, because that's really what's hurting.
That's what was stopping Phlox. He didn't want to make a bunch of super Klingons.
Yeah, so they, and I like how he's like, well, you know, he's not going to allow us to, going to allow us to do that. And he's like, well, we don't have to tell him anything.
But Phlox kept it 100 after he got that whoop. And he's like, hey, when he finds out, we're just going to get real in here. And I'm still healing from the last beat.
I can see out of one eye. I don't need to, like, not see out of both eyes.
You tell him, though.
You tell him. So we get into Act Two. And, you know, Reed is, you know, he's being taken back to his quarters. And Archer is waiting for him. Dude, Archer was a little comically aggressive,
yeah,
in that whole showdown between him and Reed.
I think that in real life it would have been a fight. Like, I think two dudes, you betray a homie that bad, you fist fighting.
Yeah,
but they can't do that on the UPN show.
Although it would have been a lot more interesting.
It would have, and it would have made more sense.
Yeah, and then, like, the camera work was, like, all in shadows and, like, whipping around them, and, like, it was kind of like, okay, I understand you're trying to create tension. But
I was making me dizzy, dude, to be honest. It wasn't that bad the whole episode. But there were some moments where you're like, dude, calm down. Who got this motherfucker put running shoes on the cameraman, for Christ's sake?
He was on roller skates.
For real.
Because the dolly track broke, so they're going to, well, let's put this dude on roller skates and we'll have somebody move him around from time.
I rented the 360 rig. I'm using the 360 rig. It's like, all right, bro.
And then we find out that Malcolm worked in Starfleet security.
Yeah.
But he couldn't really tell him anything, you know, that was going on. And then just Archer kept getting to his face like, motherfucker, you better tell me what the fuck is going on. And
let me know. Let me know.
And then, so he basically tells him to put him in contact with Harris, which isn't a very Section 31-y kind of name.
Put your boss on the phone.
It's like Harris. It's like, that's his name is Harris. It's like, we could have come up with something a little.
No, that's the whole point, bro.
Passive.
Hiding in plain sight.
Oh, his name
is Harris, and you're just like, that's a nobody, bro. You don't really care about
that. Harris, man. He probably listens to Mumford and Sons. Like, what are we going to worry about this motherfucker?
Don't diss Mumford and Sons, bro. They had their place.
Then we cut back to the Klingon colony, and fucking wasting time talking about fucking family history is like, you know, what house do you hail from on Denobula? Yeah,
the Phlox house. He's like, we don't have houses, bro.
This dick, that's where I hail from. Then he goes in. I like how he goes into the, what does he say? So for every Denobula male is six wives, and then for each of the, or three wives, and for each of those wives have three husbands. It's like, it's surprisingly complicated. And so, this little bit is just how the doctor kind of became a, as they called it, a healer. And then basically says that, you know, he's the reason for the virus. You know, he blames himself for that. And, you know,
you find out it's all his fault.
Yeah.
You're just kind of like, wow, bro.
It would have been funny if Phlox just had his, you know, hand on his chin, looking at him, just going, wow, you're the fucktard. You're the
one. Just be like, wow, that's crazy. why am I helping you? It made one thing make sense, though, because in the first episode, he said, no, I'm assisting you.
Oh, right.
They put Phlox in charge.
Yeah.
So,
because you know,
because I kind of wondered, but I was like, why did they put Phlox in charge? Doesn't make any sense because Klingons wouldn't do that,
right?
And then now it makes sense. So, you know,
yeah. He's like, so I fucked up. Now it's your turn.
Yeah, now it's your turn to fuck up. Here's all my notes, by the way. By the way, none of these ended well. So I'm just letting you know.
So these are my notes. Note that we are in this trouble.
Phlox just doesn't break eye contact, but slowly pushes them off the table into the trash. Like, I don't need these.
Or doesn't, okay? Yeah, doesn't even look at the doctor, picks up the notes and puts them over like a Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
And then just sets them on fire.
These obviously aren't what we fucking need. Okay, bruh.
So obviously these didn't work. So let's so we get the commando Klingon team that aborted Enterprise returns. And right. That female Klingon was a little too aggressive.
She was acting like an idiot, I think. It was like, who trained you how to be a Klingon?
I'm your commanding officer. You salute me. He's like, expect her to just kind of like throw up a middle finger.
You know
finger
what she sounded like? She sounded like an orc from World of Warcraft. Not even World of Warcraft, from just Warcraft. I was waiting for her to be like, Zug, Zug. It's like, you know, I know that the Klingons are kind of like orcs in space, but you didn't need to lean on the orc part.
We leaned a little too heavily on that one.
And then Lord of the Rings, like, what the fuck?
And then, you know, says like, oh yeah, the Enterprise is destroyed. The Starfleet would think it's an engine failure, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what about, you know, he's like, you're missing one. He's like, your son was killed by the humans. He allowed himself to be killed by humans. Like,
typical Klingon nonsense.
But it's like going, who allows themselves to be killed? Like, I don't
know. He was weak. And then she just walks out like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, he's like, he was weak. He didn't have a dick as big as mine. I'm like, whoa, hey.
But
is that virus working a little differently on you? Like,
aren't they technically augments at this point?
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to show that they're like, because they tell him later that,
yeah,
Phlox tells him later that he's not going to be able to control them.
Yeah, but, they didn't hit augments, oh no, till phase two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm confused in the stages.
Like, they don't. So phase two was when they hit augments, but phase two for the Klingon people was when they started getting sick. That was the problem.
Oh, right.
That's what they were trying to fix. Yeah.
And phase two is when Thor: The Dark World came out, and
yes, absolutely.
And I think Guardians of the Galaxy came out at that time.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right. So now you get it.
Yeah. Now, okay. I just wanted to make sure because
now you're on track.
So Kavak goes ahead and takes, you know, this information that he receives from that very bitchy Klingon,
yeah,
and then goes and meets up with Phlox and the other doctor, and says that, you know, they found the switch and they know how to turn off the virus, and you know, and he's like, what was he kept saying like explain. And he's like, well, I found the calamity. He goes, like, explain that I will be able to explain to them.
Right. Like,
oh, you want me to dumb it down for you? I got it.
I found the switch that turns it on. Like, oh, okay.
Pulls out a PowerPoint presentation. It's just like, so here, with little animated graphics and shit, you know. Memes thrown in there to, like, you know, break the tension, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course,
you know. And he says that, you know, I think he said he'll find it within an hour or something like that. So then he goes and contacts the other Klingon, which was kind of funny because that dude is just sitting there like no fucking care in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I expected him to have like a little ball like throwing up against the wall. And then when the Klingon, it was funny because they used the same Klingon sound that I heard in Star Trek VI, I think the Undiscovered Country. And where he's like, you know, he's like, we'll have the research, you know, and it's like, they're like, don't care, motherfucker. We're going to blow your ass up.
It's so like, he's just eating. He's like, listen, we about to be there in 3 days, Pim. I'm going to need you to figure it the fuck out.
It'd be funny if he was like eating chicken nuggets or something like that, you know, like every so often you see him hitting that dipping sauce.
Yeah. He's like, it don't give me no never mind what the fuck you doing. We gonna be there in 3 days.
He's like, but if you blow us up, you know, you're gonna destroy the colony and all the information. He's like, don't give a fuck. He pulls out Chris Rock. I don't give a fuck. take a picture, write it down. I don't give a fuck.
It's like, what it sounds like, you tell me your problems, not my problems. I don't know what you want me to do about that.
Sounds like you have a lot going on over there.
I've been ordered to destroy that colony. I don't give a fuck what you're doing down there. Ain't so, none of my business.
So we've been ordered to destroy that colony. So you're asking me to deprive my soldiers and my ships of blowing up your colony? That's not very Klingon of you.
What are we supposed to do? Just fly out there and fucking come back? Does it even make any sense? He gets all upset. What do you mean I can't murder a million people? You fucking idiot.
You understand the kind of gas I'm wasting because of this? If I go over there fully armed and then I come back fully armed, well, this was a fucking waste of time.
You think dilithium grows on fucking trees? Like, this is ridiculous, bro. Think about the environment. Like, what are you doing?
What kind of carbon footprint we're going to be leaving in space with this shit?
As a matter of fact, I'm coming to blow you up for different reasons now. Because you fucking piss me off.
Yeah, now I'm just going to come over there because you pissed me the fuck off.
Like, what the fuck is happening? He's like, wait a minute. And they hung up. He turns to Phlox and goes, I tried to de-escalate. And then, I don't... He's upset. He gets like this sometimes. We'll see what he gets here.
What was it he's going to do with that guy on 40-year-old versions? No, he's been served. He's just trying, I'm trying
to. He's a little late, but he got it.
As he's signing off.
I run this motherfucker. I'm smart tech.
As Krell goes and closes the channel, you hear Kovac go like, aim high, Willis, aim high. Oh man. So back on the Enterprise, Tucker is trying to help out Enterprise. And he goes onto the bridge and he's saying that they're gonna
how embarrassing for the new chief of engineering that the old one has to come in like a week later to fix some shit. Is this above your pay grade? So I'm gonna come in and fix this for you, make you look like a fucking idiot.
It's like,
and they kind of made some low-key digs at him this entire episode too.
Well, last episode, every time Archer tried to contact engineering, he rolled his eyes like, ugh, like he didn't even want to deal with this guy. But what's funny too is that it's like when you quit a job and you were so good at your job calls you a week after you left going, hey, nobody here knows how to do this. Can you tell us how to do it real quick? Or you took your notes and we kind of need those notes.
For real.
And,
hey man, you're the only one that knows how to work this thing. I really need you to come in. I know we just fired you, but I need you to come in.
So,
you
know, like, we know that
he was Elon Musk, bro. I know we let you go, but no one knows how to work this thing. So, yeah.
I know that we let you go, and we've come to realize that you basically ran this bitch. If you could give us a couple little post-its on how to do some of this stuff, like open, would be great.
you're
how do you start the ship? How do you start the ship?
I thought you were a bitch, but. We've been flying in circles. We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
We're leaning to the left the entire way. We don't know what's going on. I know there's no directional space in space, but we're leaning to the left. We can't.
That's gonna happen in my old job, by the way. I just realized because I created a bunch of Excel sheets to make their job easier, and as soon as there's an update, they're all gonna break.
Oh, I never.
None of them know how to use it. How to fix it.
When I at Touch Commerce before they laid me off, they said, you can go back to your desk and clear out stuff. So I go over there and there were a couple spreadsheets that I had made, to track and stuff. And then everybody else was using them. So I went ahead and fucked up the formulas.
Petty, but I'll allow it.
It's petty, but it's like after you have me fire my whole staff, then you lay me off. It's like, fuck you.
I was also laid off from the place.
Yeah, you were laid out just before I was.
Yeah.
So Trip tries to find out, like, the fuck is going up with Malcolm, man? Like, what the fuck? He's in the brig.
Yeah, he's like, all right, enough of this bullshit.
Like Archer is like, I like where he's like, nothing I can go into at the moment.
Like, right. Like, I'll let you know, but not right now.
Yeah. I said, I'll text you later. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I'll hit you on Snapchat because, you know.
Because the cheese may needs to be spoken about. Okay.
It's not like, oh, I'll let you know.
You kind of give him that look too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And that's like, the one where you're like, going, okay, just let me know. All right. So then he decides he needs to head back to Colombia. And then, of course, T'Pol's like, I'll walk with you. For what reason?
T'Pol's acts so thirsty in this episode, bro.
I'm surprised she didn't pull the zipper down on her uniform a little bit lower, you know, where she's
for
like,
real.
Suddenly she's got like the sexy, like,
I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed. You know?
It's like she pulls the zipper down. She's got like this sexy lace bra like on. And she's just like, you know, how's everything going over there? Are you sleeping well? Yeah. It's like, oh,
do you need some more sessions while you're here?
And it's like, oh, you seem to be drooling right here. Is this,
yeah.
And then suddenly Trip will be like, huh? Like, I'm still.
What'd you say?
Sorry, I was focused on something else.
Sorry, I was staring at your chest. I mean,
I was thinking about titty fucking you. Wait,
I've actually done that before when you accidentally say the exact thing you're doing. And you're like, no, wait.
And it's just that whole thing just kind of is kind of just like, it's just petty. Like, she's like, Tritus is like going, well, you know, you went over to, you know, she's asking him all about that. It's like, well, you moved over. He's like going, he's just like not feeding into it this time.
No, you know what it was? It's a fucking chick who got used to a dude fucking fawning over her, gave him no attention. And then he finally said, I'm over it. And now she's like, don't you want to give me attention?
Yeah. I saw some guy on TikTok talking about that because this one chick goes on there complaining. Like, why is it this one guy that's always into you? And then you decide to give him a chance. And then he like, you know, bails. And this guy goes, because every dude knows this. This is like, by the time you realize that this is the dude you should have been with,
he's over it.
He's moved on. And that's something you guys need to realize. You're
missing opportunities here.
Exactly. You know, this 10-inch swinger over here that you'll never get to experience, well, just moved on.
How can I say this in the nicest way possible? Those are women who overestimate their worth. Mm. Like, there's some kind of fucking diamond in the rough prize. It's like, he liked you, but then he quit. He realized when you were giving so much shit, there's other chicks, and just, I'm gonna move on.
yeah because what happens is that he realizes that you're only using him to fill in gaps between guys and stuff like that. I was like,
yeah, and then they start to not like you.
Yeah, well, I had that because, you know, I was friends with mostly girls, and yeah, there would be times where the girls went quiet on me because they had a boyfriend now, so, you know, I need to focus on that. It's like, and then come to you when shit goes down. It's like, he dumped me. It's like, oh, that sucks.
I used to always tell, because I have friends that are girls now. It's a little different because I'm married, but there was this one chick, Chase, that would constantly just want me to be the shoulder to cry. I said, listen, I'm your friend, so I'm here for you as a friend, but I'm not your emotional support system. Find a boyfriend. And she goes, well, boyfriends don't want to hear it either. I'm like, find a better one. Right. No man wants to hear about this made-up bullshit that's in your head, but your boyfriend has to because he wants to fuck you. I'm not going to fuck you, ergo, I don't care. Leave me alone. I already have to listen to this dumb shit for my wife.
Yeah, I had this one chick who we had hooked up before, but she came interested in some other guys. So she, you know, we became just friends. And then that lasted for about 4 months, something like that. And then I had already been like, okay, so that's how it is. All right, fine, whatever. I'm the consolation prize, you know, to fill those nights. So
nobody,
like,
puts baby in the corner.
No one puts my dick in the corner. It stays on me. and then I started talking to these other couple of chicks, and then suddenly she noticed, like, you know, some of these girls saying hi to me and stuff like that, talking and laughing. You know how chicks are. Yeah. And she, you know, starts going like, who are them and stuff like that. I was like, oh, they're just girls I know. And then miraculously, like a week later, her boyfriend, they break up, and then asks me if I want to come over. And I was like, no, I actually got something to do tonight. And I didn't, but I told her that.
Yeah, of course.
And she's like,
you're just sitting there in your boxes watching TV and shit.
Yeah. I'm watching, there's a Star Trek marathon on it. I'm just like watching that shit.
Hey, that's something to do.
Exactly. And she was like,
I've turned down women for Star Trek before. I'm not lying. Like, Star Trek's on tonight. And they're like, Adam, you wanna? I mean, you can come over. I'm like, no, not on Star Trek night.
I need to see Trip set to Paul straight. That's what I need to do. And yeah, and she was like, well, but you're my friend. It's like, yeah, and I'll just talk to you tomorrow about it. And I remember she got so butthurt that I had turned her down. And like I said, I go, yeah, I'll just talk to you tomorrow. Oh, okay. And then like, I didn't talk to her like for 2 days. And then like her friend calls her. I knew her friend, and her friend came by the store in the mall. And she was like, what did you do? And I was like, what? And she's like, oh my God, Kaylee is so fucked up over the way you treated her. I was like, oh, what? Treated her the way she treated me? And she's like, I know. She goes, what'd you do? I loved it. You know? And she's like, because she was one of those.
That's so funny. And then they'll say, oh, men are trash because they don't want anything to do with you if they don't want to fuck you. It's like, no, they don't like that you're playing fucking games with them.
Yeah.
And they get over it. Exactly. I think women don't even notice they're doing it, to be fucking honest.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's just that emotional response.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to.
Fuck women. Oh, wait, what? Oh.
So you can listen to the rest of that on our Patreon. That's right. Patreon. fuck damn bitches. That comes out every.
Bitches.net.
That comes out every week.
Comes out every day.
I know, right? So we go back to the lab, and Kavok tells Phlox that they're running out of time, and and then Phlox reveals that the dude that's captured on board the Enterprise is his son. He reveals to them that they know because, you know, the social medias never lie. They always tell you the truth.
That's right.
He basically says that, you know, his son wanted to be part of this experiment and he was going to show his son no special treatment. So, you know, he was given none. So he got chosen for that. And I think this episode tries a little better to give the main baddie a backstory and a motivation versus what they did in the Romulan one. Because, yeah. You know, it wasn't just
Romulans being Romulans.
Yeah. You know, this was like going, I put my son in that because, but he's a Klingon and he's supposed to do this. So then this scene's funny. We go back to the Enterprise and Reed's in the brig eating dinner. Not very well, it looks like. He kind of had this look of like, ugh. Like, what's this shit? It's like, oh, are we eating kale again? Like, is that, that's really what's going on here?
Kale.
And then the Klingon next to him throws his food because, you know.
Dead.
It's dead. I can't, you know, it's dead. I cannot eat this. And I fucking love what Reed was like. You know, he's like going, what did they serve you? Like when he throws the food, like,
you know, if you think about it, because they always want to eat live food, fucking the Klingon's gonna start that space COVID, bro. Fucking live meat markets they probably got.
No, but they don't touch bats. It's in the lore. They don't touch bats. True. Yeah, that's how they get it. And it's funny because like I can't remember what he said where he's like, you know, that he can't live in this place or something like that. And then Malcolm says that, you know, you're in the same brig as I am or something like that. Like,
oh, I forget exactly what he said too, but he was just basically saying that he was better than humans.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. 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 He goes that, you allow yourselves to be captured or whatever. And, you know, Klingon.
Like, and Reed, while he was eating, which is the ultimate disrespect, he's like, he takes a bite and he's like, it's funny because you're in the same brig that I'm in. And the Klingon didn't say shit.
Then you got the guys from Transporter Room 3 pop in and go, damn!
Oh, damn!
They're somehow in the Klingon's brig cell. Like, I don't know.
While they're walking out, they're all, free my homie Reed!
Someone puts that sticker that says free Reed on it.
Hashtag free Reed.
Klingon augments is an inside job. Oh shit. So that scene was kind of funny because it gave kind of Reed a little bit more of like a, I'm fucking over you, dude.
Like, yeah, like, I don't care. Because Klingons sometimes all sound like the same. They're like, humans are shit. Yeah. We're the best. It's like, okay, dude. It's like they have such a meathead fucking attitude.
So then we go back to the Klingon planet, and the Klingon chick is bitching at Kavok because they're getting sicker. You said we would be healthy. It's like, yeah, well, I lied, bitch.
I lied. Fuck y'all.
You with that spray on tan.
Dude, I said in my notes, I'm like, that's a lot of spray on tan for someone who could have just not been white. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was like, why does she just look dirty? Like, because I think, what was the actress who played Worf's, the mother of Worf's child?
Oh, yeah.
She was Caucasian.
Yeah.
She looked great.
Yeah, but they just made her a little brown. Like, it just a little bit to match the headpiece. But they didn't make her like... Yeah, like suddenly Wesley Snipes kind of looking. You know?
Right. It's like whoever was doing the makeup here was new. Like, he's like, I don't know, just fucking throw some dirt on her. She'll look Klingon.
If she think about it, she's probably like, well, she just did Uncle Phil. So she's like, I guess they're all this dark. Okay. Took one of those big fat roller brushes and just started putting it on her face.
Dude, it looks so bad.
And basically come to find out that, you know, they're all going to pretty much die. But they're working on a cure. And then after that, she's like, yeah, but if we're stuck like this, how are we going to go back to the Empire? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of true. You're going to face some ostracism, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
You're Klingons. You'll get over it.
You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
A lot of racism in Klingon culture.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So what a surprise, right? So we have... So then we go back to Enterprise. And first time we've seen Porthos in a while.
Yeah. It's good to see he's not dead.
Yeah. I like that whole, you miss Phlox, huh? And probably miss more of that stash of cheese. It's like.
For real.
And so Harris ends up contacting Archer, you know, via Skype. And I mean, it was kind of funny that he came through and like Archer's at the bed and he's at the desk. It was like going, don't you have like that little like, login screen, like, you know, it's like you could be in the middle of something, you know, kind of like what happened in Strange New Worlds, that first episode when Spock entered Pike's call and he was shirtless, and then Pike's like, are you naked? And T'Pring's like, not yet. He was just about to be,
for real.
But with that T'Pring,
ooh.
Anyway, so we kind of get a hint on what this section is, because he says that, you know, you're not allowed to kidnap my personnel or whatever. And he's like, well, I think you may need to reread Article 14, Section 31 of the Starfleet Charter. And I was like, there it is. Section 31.
Yeah, they never refer to him as Section 31. They just say that little slick shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, you could have just said Section. Like, it wasn't necessary, but it was funny.
So we had that, and he basically tells him that Phlox's mission is really important because it's going to stabilize the region.
Yeah.
And it could have repercussions that will affect entire worlds. And then all of a sudden you hear, Archer looks at him and goes, in a world.
Your country needs you. You know, that kind of shit.
Suddenly an American flag out of nowhere comes out, falls behind Harris.
And a bald space eagle appears.
It's a regular American eagle, but it's got a space mask on it.
I kind of wish the countries of Earth were a little bit more fucking grandiose about shit. Like, I want to see an American spaceship that looks like a fucking bald eagle. And like Russia could make one that looks like a sickle or something. I don't know. I don't know what their current symbol is. Is it a bear or something? I don't know. Make one looks like Putin's head.
Every place on the Russian ship has Putin's bust on it. Like on the bridge, no, like in the middle, like where the captain's chair should be. Like the captain's chair is off to the side because Putin's head is right in the middle of that. But he's not facing out, like facing towards the screen. He's facing everybody who's sitting in that chair. Like, even though he's dead, he's still judging you. Oh, shit. So, so Phlox says he has four strains. One of them will trigger, you know, one of them will have the virus, or will have the antidote. The others will trigger the virus. You know, they'll figure it out. And I liked how he says, like, so, you know, I got to run tests on him. And he's like, you know, because it requires four people. And then Uncle Phil is like, you have four healthy right here.
Yeah. Like, they're just, they're itching to fucking kill themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, all right, bro, whatever.
It's like, I will die no matter what. It's like, okay, dude, you might want to chill on that, but all right. So
I
yeah.
get hard when I think about dying for the empire.
I will choose to die.
An honorable day.
Today is a good day to die. So he basically says that he's going to, he wants him to inject himself, the doctor, and the two guards in the room. The two guards in the room are like, hey, I didn't sign up for this shit. What the fuck?
They kind of look at each other. What the fuck?
It's like, they do the whole Homer Simpson backing out of the room slowly.
Yo, they told me to go to HR. I don't even know where the fuck I'm at. Bro.
They'd be like that two stormtroopers in The Force Awakens that they see Kylo Ren burn it at the place. They turn around, walk the other way. So we go back to Archer's ready room, and Archer basically is trying to get find out why Reed joined Section 31, and he says that he joined it as a young instant. And I think Archer was a little like, you know, kind of a little too like, what the fuck? And he's just like, look, I was young. It was exciting. It's like, you know, and I was like going, yeah, because who doesn't want to be like, ooh, I get to be a 007 super spy. Like, you know, I think everybody would have that kind of inkling, you know, you get to, and it's particularly Reed. I feel like Reed would be particularly susceptible to what's going on, you know. But he kind of, you know, he basically tells Archer that, you know, I thought I was done with this, blah, blah, blah. And he says that, you know, that Harris told him that, you know, he needed Phlox to find a cure. He basically says that he'll tell Archer everything, you know, because he needed to decide where his loyalty lies, and he's basically decided it lies with you.
Which is funny because that doesn't make any sense. Like, if it was real life and he was in Spec Ops or something like that, he would not say anything, and then his captain would understand.
Right.
It was just a weird Starfleet thing, I guess.
Well, I think because for Archer, it was because it was his doctor and his officer, so it felt like
you're fucking my life up over here.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Things could be cool. I could be sitting here watching Space Pornhub right now, watching two Orions go down on a Klingon, but I gotta be doing this shit because of you. Like, I
some weird kinks that people are into.
It's like, yeah, I like looking at Ferengi feet. Don't kink shame me. So he says that he doesn't know where Phlox was taken, but Starfleet intelligence apparently knew that he was taken to the Kuvok colony, so they're gonna start there. So now we go into Act 3. And in Act 3, he brings, you know, Archer decides, all right, I'm going to give Reed one more chance. So he returns to the bridge. And I like how everybody kind of gave that look like, oh, he's back on the bridge?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't he a dick? Like, I'm confused.
Did he fuck up?
It's like, you know, I know exactly. Like, didn't he fuck up? Didn't he do some shit? Didn't you do some shady shit? And you have that one, you know, militant black guy go, of course, we give the white guy another chance. He fucking committed mutiny and shit. But, oh, we got to give him a new start. And at this point, was it this point or was? Oh, no. Earlier on, Archer said that he was, while they were doing this, they were taking Columbia along with them because of the more firepower. Like, later on, we find out they don't have very much in the way of firepower. I thought it was kind of
weird. I don't know. The ending felt kind of rushed to me.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, yeah, because they spent a lot of money on the Klingon thing, or the what do you call
on
it?
On the tether in the beginning.
Yeah, that was the motor of the budget. They couldn't spend anything else on the space battle. So he reinstates him, and then their Enterprise is 6 hours away from Kuvok colony. But he recommends that Columbia should be pushed a safer distance, you know, from Enterprise. So, you know, they don't know that there's two targets on there because, you know, God forbid long range sensors kick in. And they're like, hey, wait, there's two.
Yeah. It takes two. Well, especially since they look identical to each other.
I mean, they could have them enough to where, you know,
see the Klingons? No, wait, that one has a pylon. Wait, no. Wait, look, that one has green lights and the other one has red. They ain't tricking me.
Hey, look at the front. That one has, looks like it has an emitter sticking out the front. That one doesn't. Look inside the, look, we can see inside the bridge. Look at it. Look, they got that motherfucking fashion pylons. What the fuck are they doing?
They
play
too much. They think we weren't going to see this shit.
They look like fucking Christmas trees.
We Klingons, we smartest.
I mean, if they were going up against the, what was that stupid race? The ones that were the big enemies in Lower Decks. The we smart, you know, it called every ship Enterprise.
The
Packlets,
yeah.
I think there was like, you think
it's the Enterprise.
We're Klingons. You think we Packlets? I wouldn't insult the Packlets, motherfucker.
For real. This show's Klingons are dumb.
Yeah. Well, remember
the TNG Klingons were kind of cool, but
yeah, I liked the TOS Klingons because they were very more Romanesque. I like the way they kind of
they just their... talk shit.
Oh yeah,
TOS Klingons were funny.
They would come so and go,
look
trash
at you bitches, motherfucker. Like that one episode where Scotty got in a fucking bar fight with some Klingons. They came in literally like, who let you bitches in this spot, bro? I was like, what the fuck?
I didn't say she looked like a garbage scout. I said she hauled as garbage. You're like, oh, fuck.
This guy's like, all right.
He's like,
we done, bro.
So we go back to the, the quarantine planet. Phlox asks Kavok, you know, why he decided to, pursue the augment project where Soong failed. And his fucking response was, he made too few of them. Like, what the fuck?
Should have made more.
Because that fixes everything. That fixes everything. I was like, wow. So he injects all of them and then the Kavok kind of decides to go full Klingon and he's like, all right, so we just got to wait. Will blood wine affect it? It's like, dude.
You know what, though? That was an OG moment. Like, yeah. Oh, fuck it. Well, let's have a little drink.
We'll drink and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's like, we will drink in the name of these fine warriors, Barry. And then they're in the back. They're like, which is what every extra Klingon always says.
And then when he asks Phlox, you know, like, would you like what? He's like, I don't mix business with pleasure kind of thing.
Oh, he said I'm on the clock or something like that.
My shift doesn't end for like another day. So we're gonna be good on this one. So we go back and then... out of nowhere, fucking Archer. Archer's interrogating Kavak's son in sickbay, you know, and he's starting to get even more sick. And he's just like, you know, I ain't gonna tell you shit. And he's like, all right, motherfucker, but you're gonna die, and we can't help you and help any of your own people. And apparently that was enough to get him like, okay. Like, I was like,
okay.
That was like a very weak argument, like coming from Archer. So, but you know, we're racing towards the end, so we need to move things at a steadier pace. Phlox scans one of the sick Klingons and tells them that they're getting the first symptoms of the flu. So, you know,
the augment virus, Steve.
The augment virus.
Not the flu.
Well, it's the flu. It starts off as the flu.
They got space COVID, bro.
They got space COVID. And nobody was wearing a mask. What the fuck? If this flu is like going around, nobody's wearing masks.
These MAGA Klingons.
You know? You see one of them wearing a red hat.
Make Kronos better. Make Kronos great again. Yo, I'd wear that fucking hat.
No, make Kalis great again.
Oh yeah, there was one chick that got in trouble because she had the red hat on with the same type font, but it said make anime slutty again or something stupid. And everyone was like, she's a fucking maggot. It's like, read the hat.
I know I know colors are pretty and stuff, but read the hat. somebody's had one because they were talking about how MAGA comedians are not funny. You know, they're always like liberals, right? You know, that kind of thing. And so some of them were wearing red hats saying, make comedy funny again.
I mean, a lot of liberal comedians do the same thing. I think politics and comedy rarely mix, to be honest.
Unless you have a cool take on it.
Yeah, you know? But that's, for most comedians, pretty rare.
Yeah.
It's just like, MAGA, dumb, am I right? And then the other side's doing the same fucking thing.
So they scan everybody, and he starts scanning them, and he finds out that Kavok has the cure, you know, but of course, and then the doctor is like going, so then I'm going to die. And he's like, not so fast. We might be able to, you know, work fast enough and get the cure out to you.
Let's move quickly.
We do this now. So
I am Phlox.
So now we come to find out that the Klingons aren't trustworthy. That, you know, like Starfleet, would have expected, you know.
You know what's funny is this is a very dishonorable thing to do.
Yeah.
When you really think about it. But of course, Klingons are experts at justifying why their dishonorable actions are honorable for the moment.
Well, they're politicians. You know, it's like, exactly. I did this because it was better for the greater good. And then it comes back
for
to like
Klingons.
Was it every time I hear greater good, I always think of fucking Hot Fuzz. The greater good. The greater good. So he basically says that that this is the part that I don't understand. Did Harris know they were gonna blow up Enterprise? Because he says you failed to stop Enterprise. So I'm wondering if he was in on them destroying.
No, Enterprise. Because I think he was in on the on them crippling Enterprise, but I don't think he knew there was this typical fucking black ops shit. Like, as long as the job gets done, he doesn't know anything about anything. But I think he knew that they were going to infiltrate Enterprise and cripple it, but not that they were going to try to destroy it.
Because he says they're both, you know, both ships are heading to you, and then he says we'll call them back. He's like, I don't have authority to do that. And Krell's like, then we're going to destroy him. He's like, what?
Like, we had a deal. It's I don't need you anymore.
Yeah, because he goes, you know, this was supposed to benefit. Yeah, you did what I want. I don't need you anymore. So, fuck off.
It would have been funny if Harris had that look at his thing. All right, Bradley, what the fuck?
You would have been funny if you saw Krell do that. What was it? The Asian guy from the Hangover, you know, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
As he turns off the screen. So back on the quarantine planet, they extract the cure from Kavok, and then magically, Archer comes in with a phase pistol ready by himself. Mm-hmm. No Makos, no backup. Like,
piece of shit.
Like, What happened? Like, did everybody say like, oh yeah, you going by yourself with a face pistol? That'll work out well. So like,
fuck it.
Oh no, that's no. He did come back with Kavek's son. That's right. I forgot he came with him because he basically kind of disappeared in the rest of the scenes after this. Basically says that, you know, he's going to take Phlox back, and then he goes back and says, well, Phlox, you know, everybody, a lot of people are going to die. And then Phlox goes with that whole, like, I think I'm capable of speaking for myself.
Like, that was funny. Phlox is basically the captain now, bro. Yeah. He takes over the whole fucking scene.
He looks at Archer and goes, I'm the captain now. So he basically gets him to stand down and says that he has a cure, and but he needs a little more time, and he needs basically a couple of hours. And then he says that he could stop the cure. And then that's when Kavok goes, what? What the fuck? You're stopping the cure? And he's like, yeah, I lied.
That was kind of funny.
And then the Enterprise picks up the three Klingon warships in orbit, which I thought they had 3 days. Like, because then they have, like, he says, oh, I'll find it in an hour. And then he was doing all this stuff, and he was like, it seemed kind of a very fast
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, but they're jamming communications between Enterprise and Columbia, and the Klingon ship arrives and starts blasting the planet. And so I like how like they're like Krell, you know, they try to talk to Krell to tell him to like stop because, you know, they're going to be able to, you know, have a, you know, have something. So he goes, so they needed to work on a cure fast, you know, and then he starts firing on both the, oh yeah, what did he say? He claimed both Enterprise and Columbia the property of the Empire.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like, see how that goes, motherfucker.
We now own these ships. No, you don't.
Yeah. You really he looks don't. At Phlox and goes, I'm the captain now.
Yeah, everybody's switching roles.
All right, so now we hit Act 4. So Crow gives his basically the he tells him to just start wiping out the planet, leave nothing standing. And Enterprise tries to disable the ship's disruptors, but I thought it was kind of funny that it was just like, yeah, that didn't work. Did we not learn from the last time we fought Klingons? Like,
yeah,
none of these things are going to work on you. But what was cool was that that one ship that was firing on an Enterprise, I was like, yo, dude, like, where are you, Columbia? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Columbia comes swooping in, you know, because I figured they had to charge those lighted pylons on the bridge. That's what took them a little
extra time. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's the amount of power that's necessary. That's what I would laugh if they were doing that warp field thing. It's like, we need to break free soon because my pylons are going to stop lighting up.
One fell out of the USB, plug in that USB-C cord. We got to get some direct power to that thing.
Plug it in quick.
So they try to work on a way to try to disable that battle cruiser, but Phlox is, you know, trying to create the cure, but they need a human host to replicate antibodies, which is something he left out when he said that they could develop a cure.
He said that it will happen, but it will take longer, and it would be faster if they had a human host because they can replicate antibodies faster.
I thought it was a little weird that Archer stood there, like kind of fixed his stance, ripped open his uniform, and goes, "You got a human right here." I was kind of like, "Okay, little alpha male."
It was kind of funny though, because of course Archer, you know, sacrifices himself like he always does, but he for just a second he's like. Well, like fucking goddamn it.
It'd be funny if like Archer just, you know how they used to, remember those rip away pants that you used to have, you know, like you just tug on a rip away. You just see him suddenly rip away his uniform and he's like, you got a human right here. Like you have Phlox kind of putting his hand up right where Archer's crotch is, and he's like, you didn't need to do that one, Captain. Yeah. Or when he rips away his uniform, you just hear this like.
That's it's right.
Like, it's like my uniform is the only thing holding that.
Reinforced.
He noticed it's like triple lined in there. There's no seams. Kevlar. There's no seams that runs through that area. So he goes and he takes Archer to the chair, which this was I thought was funny. So he takes Archer over to the chair to kind of, you know, strap him in. But he, instead of like, I don't know, you know, instead of throwing him in the chair where he's facing everybody, he throws him in the chair and then turns him around, like for dramatic effect. I'm like, that makes no sense.
The camera stuff was weird.
Like, it makes no sense. Why not have it in front of them? Like, just throw him down. It just, it's extra dramatic for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
So Phlox straps him in. When he pulled out the strap on, Archer's kind of like, wait, what?
Like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell me this was going to be fun. Columbia manages to disable one of the Klingon ships by hitting their engine. I thought it was funny. He's like, one of their engines is weakening. And she's like, fire at will. It's just like, take it out. It's like,
yeah,
fire at will. No, you want them to hit that. You don't want them to hit anywhere else. You want them to hit the engine. Like that, you got to be a little more. But I think that's something
a little more specific.
Yeah, I think that's something a seasoned captain might know, that You don't want to say like, well, I hit it again in the bridge, but it didn't take it down. And you're supposed to hit that. You said fire at will. That generally means
something that a seasoned, more male captain. I mean, is that what you're trying to say?
No, because Janeway would have said, you know, target that engine. You know, she would have said, I just say a more seasoned, non-minority captain would have.
Whoa. Wow.
See, I'm speaking for my own. You know, she's, you know, she's Hispanic. So, you know, obviously I know Hispanics, and you don't put a Hispanic in charge. I mean, that's just
Jesus Christ.
I mean, in charge of a line, kitchen line? Good to go. Put him in charge of a captain seat? Anyway,
I can't co-sign this.
So you can listen to our whites only podcast on Patreon. I still wonder if anybody goes, I wonder if they have that and starts looking.
They probably do. They probably have some kind of racist shit on there.
Oh no, I'm seeing talking about our shit. When we talk about all our Patreons, they're like, do they even have a Patreon? Like, let's see. So, Phlox, injects, I like it. He injects his Archer with the, you know, with the virus. And he says, like, I don't know what it's going to do to you. Just letting you know.
Like, this won't be this won't be pleasant, I think he said.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Enterprise and Hoshi. Again, white, you know, human, not white, human Mary Sue moment. Another,
did you just call Hoshi white?
I said white and I said, wait, no. I mean,
how dare you?
I mean, human Mary Sue moment. We've got a lot of human Mary Sues. She cuts through the jamming signal.
Yeah.
And then contacts Archer.
I put my notes. Hoshi is hot. Just wanted to get that in the notes.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I was like, Jesus. So, and then T'Pol calls down to Archer. And then Phlox is like, oh, he's kind of busy. as he's thrashing around in the chair, you know, as the virus is taking control, and those slight subtle ridges that started appearing on his
And once the ridges started showing up, he stopped thrashing around as much. Like, he looked like he was being a little bit tougher about it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
suddenly he's like you know, he's Klingon. Suddenly out of nowhere he has a batlet in his hand. He's just kind of like, what the fuck.
A whole bottle of blood wine in the other hand.
A targ comes running out.
Klingon bitch in the back biting him.
His targ, that, you know, the doctor's targ comes running, jumps in his lap and sits there like, oh, you're a Klingon now.
Rips his shirt off. He's got a t-shirt on with the Klingon Empire symbol. Like, he stays ready.
He's got, you know, one of those little pennants that you usually get that, like, people get, like, when they go to New York or something. He has one that has the Klingon symbol on it.
He's on a snow globe with the fucking capital, Kronos.
With Kalis standing in front.
Right. Everybody loves fucking snow globes. Come on.
The Enterprise, because they can't seem to break through, Enterprise goes and decides that we're going to sit in between the planet and the battlecruiser. But the battlecruiser suddenly starts shifting over because, you know, engines and stuff. So the Enterprise decides to kind of move in there, and then T'Pol goes and asks Columbia, hey, you know, can you use some help down here? She's like, well, my weapons just went offline. Convenient. She has Trip on her ship, right?
No, he's on the Enterprise.
No, remember he went back when she walked into the hallway? She walked him out of the hallway. Remember when Trip and her had that little thing? He hadn't come back yet.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm like going, Trip slipping. Like, Trip slipping, not to keep those weapons.
Trip's not in the fucking armory. Fuck all that.
So, as Archer becomes more and more Klingon, he rips free from the fucking restraints because, you know, he's becoming, what is it? I guess he's becoming an augment. No, augment was stage two. No, I don't remember that Klingon, the way the stage two, they went, didn't quite work. They didn't really work out the details.
Right.
But, yeah, so he starts to break the restraint, and fucking Kavok comes over there, holds him down. He's Uncle Phil kind of holding this, like, go get this little bitch. I can hold him.
Yeah, one hand and shit.
You see him holding him down with, like, his pinky finger. He's like, I'm not even exert energy here.
This reminds me of when I fought the turtles.
You suddenly hear that. Dun, 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 dun. He basically says, okay, cool, we have enough. So they extract the antibodies from Archer. And then they do this cool little thing where they send up this canister to the Klingon warship.
Mm-hmm. He's like, now you're infected, bitch. It would behoove you to let me finish my fucking work.
Yeah, he's like, you know, we have this stuff going around. You don't believe me, you can get your doctor on it. But, you know, in order for you guys to live, I have to give you the antidote. And you can't do that if I'm dead.
So he was like, this is a cowardly attack. And Phlox is like, maybe so.
Yeah, but so is the shit that he did with Starfleet, you know.
Yeah,
but what's funny too is like he goes, you're lying. He's like, oh.
Am I?
Am I? It would be
really
funny.
Want to roll those dice, my friend?
It would be funny if he's like, am I? Am I? He gets really close to this thing and looks at it. He's like, am I? basically he stands down and then like everything's cool. So you get this shot over the planet of the three Klingon battle cruisers and the two starships going by. And of course, you know, they treating everyone successfully. Mm-hmm. But they bring up the Klingon doctor to the Enterprise, which I still don't understand why. I don't know why they brought him to the Enterprise.
I don't know, just to cure him, I think. Yeah. Probably a better facility.
Yeah. I like that he's got that smooth forehead. He's got that nice hairline going on.
He's so sad about it.
I know. He's like, my Targ is not even going to recognize me.
Like, now your Targ's going to think you a bitch, bro.
So he says that now, you know, obviously the Klingon Empire won't allow him to, to hold his position. So, you know, guess I'm just going to be a bitch now. He's like,
and it kind of explains it too for the TOS stuff, where basically people with that condition were they could only make it in the warrior class.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to do anything else.
And then he says like, oh, well, maybe I can, you know, get into reconstructive surgery. You know, Phlox is like, well, that could become very popular soon, which is what I was explaining before when I said it was like, okay, so you make this. So why aren't we seeing any more in the future? Yeah. But this could be the reason why.
Yeah.
Because they created these people, but they have reconstructive surgery. You know, fucking Klingons going for cosmetic surgery and shit.
Leave it to Star Trek to make a one throwaway line that explains an entire portion.
That's all you need to do.
For real.
Star Trek is perfect at that, of creating one line that solves the whole canonical issue. So Archer is recovering. And then, of course, he has to have craving for Klingon food, you know, gawk and all that. Yeah. And then Phlox tells him that the cravings will subside and that so will the cranial ridges. And then Tucker's like, you should keep them. Makes you look more intimidating.
Yeah, for real.
And then Archer gives that look and then just kind of that eye roll. He should have just looked at him and went, what? And like suddenly get like in Trip's face. Pulls out a batleth. So a batleth out of nowhere, it just starts beating the shit out of Trip.
Yeah, for real.
And then of course Hernandez has to make that comment. How did you make it so many years without me? We barely made it with you here. What are you talking
for
about?
For real. And then he fucking Archer goes, one of us needs to get some exploring done. He stays bitter about not being able to go exploring. Like, that's the whole, like, so many times this season, he's like, we used to be explorers. Remember when we used to explore shit?
This and last season when he was on the Zindi thing, it's like, yeah, we were explorers. But it's funny, too, because even when they Dominion War, and then Picard says that, too, in, what was it, Nemesis? Where he's like, remember when we were explorers? You know, and it was during that whole when he met Shinzon, mm-hmm. and they was talking about the Dominion War. It's like, remember when we used to be explorers? We find out that Trip is staying for a little while longer, you know, to help repair the shit that they damaged on Enterprise, because you know that other engineer is just, well, he's just a piece of shit. We're just gonna say it as it is. He's a piece of shit.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody who doesn't even answer the captain when he calls him, and then he has that look of like, oh, fuck. Like, I gotta
just casually jogs over to the thing. Hey,
yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, it's like, hey, sorry, man. just doing a little hit, you know. Gotta start the day off right. So we cut back to the scene where Reed is in his quarters and he's reading a book.
Enjoying a regular book.
Right. Looked a little big. It looked a little big as far as a book goes.
It was a tome.
He's reading the Magna Carta because, he's right. brushing up on his history.
That's right.
And then Harris contacts him and tells him, good work. And basically Reed is kind of like, God, fuck yourself. I answer to Archer. I don't answer to you anymore.
Hung up on him.
Hung up on his ass. That was just funny. I answer to one man alone, Jonathan Archer.
You need to take Archer's dick out your mouth, right? Like, Jesus.
That would have been funny if Harris goes like, okay, you can stop the dick riding because, you know.
So, production notes, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty short in this one, which is surprising, being that it was such a big episode. This episode was directed by David Barrett, a first-time director on Enterprise.
Ah, could explain why the camera angles were all
wacky cameras. Wayne Grace previously played a Cardassian Legate, right? Yeah, the Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode "Wrongs Darker Than Death or Night." Wow. And a Klingon, Torok, in Star Trek Next Generation episodes Equiel. Coincidentally, Torok had first appeared aboard the IKS Kavat. Guest star John Shuck previously played the blustery Klingon ambassador in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, and Parn in Deep Space Nine's The Marquee Part 2. The graphic designers mistakenly added the USS prefix to both the Enterprise and Columbia in episode artwork. Neither of the ships were ever designated USS. No, they were not.
No, they weren't.
Reed's self-imposed exodus from Section 31 would prove to be short-lived. While he tells Harris that he takes orders from one commander, Archer, barely a month later, the captain himself, distrustful of the answers he was getting from Earth political figures regarding the how do you say that goofy ass word? Terror Prime crisis. Personally asks Reed to use his underground contacts in the hopes of getting some real answers to what's going on. Of course. This episode and the preceding one, Enterprise Affliction, were written to explain the makeup change in Klingons between Star Trek the Original Series and Star Trek the Motion Picture, which had been acknowledged as canon in Trials and Tribulations in 1996. The writer of, and I mean, it was kind of mentioned in Trials and Tribulations.
Well, because he says
we do not discuss it, but it wasn't really detailed. The writers,
yeah, but they acknowledge it. It could have been one of those where they just didn't, but now they acknowledge it because they have to, because Worf has all that makeup on, and the other Klingons don't have any.
Right. The writers of Enterprise hoped their take would find a way of explaining the change while simultaneously telling an interesting story. I think they pulled that off.
I thought they did. Yeah.
Manny Coto once referred to this installment as probably the best episode we've done all season. Coto also believed Dave Barrett brought an incredibly wonderful style to it. I mean, I just didn't like the camera work, to be real. The episode was great.
Yeah.
But the camera work just in some spots was just rough.
Yeah. Felt like just trying to, well, let's make it a little more dynamic.
Yeah, and just it was trying just, too hard.
Yeah. So next week or next time. Star Trek Enterprise. We'll be bound. While T'Pol and Tucker discover that they have developed a psychic bond, of course, Captain Archer receives 3 Orion slave girls as a gift for negotiating with the devious Orion Syndicate.
Nice.
With rather disastrous results. Did you check out them? Them Orion slave girls.
I fucking closed it. Is this the one I'm thinking of? Hold on. You open it.
They all look dressed like I'm a slave for you.
Oh yeah. This is the one where they're not just gifts. This is actually a pretty good episode. I thought this was an earlier season. I thought we already watched it, to be completely honest. This is a good episode though. Yeah. So that's it. Manny Coto writing it.
Manny Kono, keeping it real.
Keeping it real with them slave girls.
Because we all about that. Them Orion slave girls.
A little too into it.
What? What are you talking about?
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.